Good morning and welcome to Thursday morning, April the 18th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we continue Year B, the fourth Sunday of Easter, and on the Thursday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the New Testament letter passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary, in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves in the book of 1 John once again. Once again in chapter 3, we're going to advance a little bit further, verses 16 through 24. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. First John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. This is how we know love. He laid down his life for us, and we too ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Anyone who has the means of life in this world and sees a brother or sister in need and closes their heart against them, how can God's love be abiding in them? Children, let us not love in word or in speech, but in deed and in truth. Because of this, we know that we are of the truth, and we will persuade our hearts of the fact before Him. Because if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we keep His commands and give Him pleasure when He sees what we are doing. And this is His command, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus the Messiah, and should love one another, just as He gave us the commandment. Anyone who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. This is how we know that He abides in us, by His Spirit that He has given us. This is the word of God for us. One of the things that I admire about my friend Greg Tuning, someone I've known for a long, long time, is that he says things plain, and it's not usually in a mean tone. It's never in a mean tone, but it certainly is direct. You know, do you have a person like that in your life who is direct but doesn't come across as mean? But he's just got a way of cutting through maybe how I take a very long time coming to a point. He has like this witty one-liner that just lands on the mark. You know, and I just admire that. I think it's a spiritual gift. I wish that he could pass it on to me, because life would be better if I had it. So I appreciate his friendship. And I think that John is of the same spirit. I think the reason that we like to read the letters of John is because it simply tries to boil down Christianity to its most basic terms. And by basic, I do not mean the easiest. I don't mean it's dumbed down. I'm just saying, like, if you want to be a Christian, this is kind of what it looks like. We're not going to beat around the bush here. Like, we can be forgiven because, as John said in the first chapter, that if any of us claims to be without sin, we're a liar. But if we do confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us and cleanse us, right? And then he says, okay, so you're on the discipleship path. So from here, you got to learn to love. You got to try to keep Jesus' commandments, because if you obey His commands, it's proof that you have life in Him. And we get to a section like this where John's just no nonsense, just very basic logic of the faith. Like, if we claim to love Him who reached out to us in our need, and we close our eyes to someone who's in need, particularly a brother or sister around us, then it's revealing that we have not quite embraced the whole idea of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, who is the God of love. And so I just love how this is a passage to recalibrate who we are. Like, if we're wandering away, if we've made Christianity too muddled and too confusing, we go to a place like 1 John, chapter after chapter, including chapter 3. And we begin to say, okay, once again, the terms for which I've been called is to love one another and to love the people around me. And then we'll let God worry about the results if we just go on our way loving. These are very direct quotations from John. And I remember early on in my Christianity, probably when I felt like things were more black and white than they really are, upon, you know, studying scholarship and listening to more seasoned Christians, I remember I'd go to 1 John and be like, man, like, it just seems like cut and dry. Like, if I don't follow all the commands, then maybe I'm not in the sun. But I think that we've got to allow John's hyperbole, his exaggeration, to work on us, but not to scare us, right? And when we say that John could be exaggerating here, we're not saying we shouldn't take it seriously. We should absolutely take it seriously. Christians should be known by our love. Like, it shouldn't be like a rare thing. Oh, someone finally caught us in an act of loving. No, like, it should be the natural outworking of who we are. But if we do have seasons where we don't follow through, or seasons that we get irritable, or we reject somebody, or we lose our patience and we get short with them, this should be an oddity, an odd episode for the Christian, and not normative, right? Now, we don't all come to Jesus from the same spot. And so obviously some of us have had patterns before we met Jesus where we were less loving, less forgiving, less patient. And so any progress towards being more loving and patient and kind is obviously positive, but we may not be as far as somebody who they are on their Christian journey, because they started at a maybe more benevolent and kind place. But nevertheless, we're all on that same like journey. Like, I kind of look at it like a race, right? If you ever been to a very popular run, maybe like a half marathon in a big city, like there's all, they do this like delayed timing process, right? So you give the race organizers your estimated finishing time. And so they kind of put you with runners who are like near like the same pace you are, so that when you get started, there's not like this bottleneck and people dodging one another, because we've got maybe some slower paced people in the way of some faster paced people, and vice versa. And so what they tend to do is they try to group you together. I don't think it's like that, but I think that we shouldn't be surprised when the Christian next to us may be way ahead of us, or the Christian next to us on the other side is way behind us. And this is where I think Paul's gentle admonition of the good form of pride, he says this in the book of Galatians, is, you know, we can have pride as long as we don't compare ourselves to anyone else, right? So have pride in the personal progress that we are making, right? And so each of us, what we can say, what's the end of the matter here? Each of us are on a journey of love. Like, we are running that race, and Jesus is the one that we're pacing, that we're trying to follow. And we look how he dealt with certain circumstances through his teaching and through the Gospels, and then we rely on his current presence in our lives through all the different issues that we face. And we just vow and we decide we're going to be people of love. Like, we're going to love until it hurts, and we're going to find wise ways to do that, and we're going to follow our master's command in that regard. And when we fall short, we confess our sins. Go back to 1 John chapter 1. We confess our sins. We ask Jesus to heal us, to restore us, so that we can get back on the road and continue the race all the way to the finish line, right? Yeah, so with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we rejoice this morning that you've called us to be people of love. Different groups out there are marked by different items and things to make them separate from everyone else. And we thank you that you saw fit in your wisdom in launching the grace economy that you would have us to be people of love, people who didn't just receive your love at salvation, but those who also live by that love in our everyday lives. God, we confess to you that we do fall short. We do thank you for the promises that we can confess our sins. And when we do so, you are faithful and just to cleanse us. So God, forgive us for being unloving, for being impatient, for holding people in contempt, for closing our eyes to needs. And so we vow to be people of love, but we know that it takes not only courage, but wisdom. And so we do pray for all the interactions today that we have with people, that you give us the wisdom and the courage to be your people and to be people of love. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.